This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. As we prepare for Easter, we observe a period of time known as Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter Sunday, the first day of Lent on Ash Wednesday, which was February 17th this year. Ashes were placed on the foreheads of the faithful in the sign of the cross to remind them of Christ's death, of the sorrow one should feel for his or her sins, and of the necessity of repenting. Lent is a special time of reflecting in prayer and fasting upon the importance of our redemption and salvation, made possible through not only Christ's suffering on the cross, but including his resurrection. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to visit us this Lenten season at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, February 28, 2021. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. This is the day the Lord has made. God's enduring love still leads us from places of captivity into a promise of peace, forgiveness, and eternal life. The promises of God endure forever. Let us rejoice and be glad. Amen.
Let us now prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us begin that in a moment of silence as we do center ourselves. But I want us to remember this morning that as we bow our heads and we call upon the name of God through the name of Jesus Christ, remember you are on holy ground and your spirit is before the very presence of Almighty God, who has taken time to bend an ear to hear from us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, let us come before you in humility and thanksgiving. Let us come before you in praise and adoration. Let us come before you in truth and honesty. Let us come before you with hearts wide open, bringing to you our good days and our bad days, our rights and our wrongs, our successes and our failures, seeking forgiveness for our sins and to honor you and that which we may have done that did indeed honor you. Father, let us find ourselves in your presence and let our hearts and lives be humbled. For you are our God, the creator of all things that we know and that we don't know. You are the beginning, the everlasting. You are holy and worthy of praise. You are high, yet you bend low to touch even us. Your love is without boundaries. Though the seasons remind us of the changes, your love never changes. Your word remains the same. Your promises are to be trusted, to count, be counted on, to depend on, and to trust in. So, Father, we come before you today bringing our lives, our hearts. We bring it all to you and humble ourselves to seek first forgiveness for our sins, for the things that we have done that we should have not, and the things we have not done that we should have. Father, we bring them before you today. We lay them at your feet. And we ask in the name of Jesus our Christ for your forgiveness. And as you forgive us, Father, give us the strength to forgive others and the strength to forgive ourselves. Father, help us to be reminded today that in you we are a new creation, that in you the old things have passed away and we have become new in you. Father, as we continue to pray, we pray for one another, for those of us gathered here this morning in this place called sanctuary. As we come with our brothers and sisters, those in the journey with us, Father, we don't come as perfect people. We come because of our imperfections. Father, we don't come to be seen as holy, lofty, and lifted up. But we come that you may see us and that we would fellowship one with another and share our successes and our struggles. So, Father, as we come, we pray for one another. We may not know anything about what the other has experienced this week, what they have been through this week, what their challenges have been, or the struggles they still have. So, Father, help us to lift each other up before you in your grace. And, Father, we extend our prayer to those who join us through different ways. Father, we pray for them too. And, Father, we extend our prayers to other churches and faith communities where Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto God. Father, we pray for those faith communities. And Father, we would pray that there would be more of those faith communities. And that we would come together without a denominational dividing line. Or choosing up sides like a basketball team. That we would just honor you in our service. Father, we pray for the leaders of our community, our nation, and nations around the world. Father, we would pray that morality and integrity be restored in our country, and that you would be honored, and that the foolishness that we see going on would go away as people honored you and humbled themselves before you. Father, I am so brokenhearted that a senator of the United States would say that you are not needed in our Senate. Father, I pray for that senator, and I pray that those words would not be true. Father, I pray for national problems, world problems, wars, bombings, assaults, ethnic cleansing. God. Father, how horrible we can be, but also the compassion we can have. Father, we pray not only for our leaders, but those who serve our country, from law enforcement, nurses, hospitals, doctors, military, those who give of their time, their service, gifts, and talents. We lift them up to you. Father, we pray for those who are preaching and sharing your word in witness and in deed. Father, we pray for those who are sick, hurting, grieving, whatever the problem may be, we lift them up. And Father, we pray for those who are nursing homes, shut-ins in their own homes, and for those who are caregivers for people they love. Father, we lift each other up and ask now that you hear us, as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading is from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of God for the people of God.
Living by faith. Two other passages of scripture that you need to kind of have in mind here, and that is Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 17. You're going to need those two to go with this diatribe piece from Romans. Paul writes the letter to the church at Rome, and he writes it in a diatribe. And a diatribe means an argumentative style, point, counterpoint. It's kind of like I do when I'm talking to myself. I say, you shouldn't do that. Then I say, well, you should, but if you do, this is what's going to happen. So maybe you should. How many of you have those conversations? I have mine out loud. So if you ever come in the garage and I've got standing there and I'm talking, just know I'm talking to God, maybe. But, you know, mostly me. But Paul is doing that, and he's doing this here with the law, grace, faith, and all of these things. He's rolling them up. And we need to understand that we are adopted into Judaism. We are Judeo-Christians. The Old Testament's our book, too. And the promises of God in the Old Testament affect us. Now, I realize that I don't go over there and preach a lot from the Old Testament, but that doesn't mean I'm not aware of it and that I don't understand what's going on. So you need to as well. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, God calls then his name was Abram, and his wife's name was Sarai. Not Abraham and Sarah yet. He calls them out from among their people, and he says to them, I will make of you a mighty nation, and I will bless you, and I will bless those who bless you. Curse those. He gets the first Abrahamic covenant. We get the call of Abraham. This is not yet the covenant. The covenant comes in chapter 17. But here we get the call, and Abraham leaves, and he follows God. Now, I got news for you. Abraham's quite a character. How many of you have read about Abraham? He's a liar. I mean, he even tells them that his wife is his sister. I mean, he does all kinds of stuff. He cheats people. I mean, he is a character and a half, you know. But here is the one God picked. I got news for you. I find a lot of encouragement for myself. If he could pick Abraham, I might not be so far off, you know. And then I go over and I look at David. I mean, David, he had some character defects. There's hope, you know. When we see that God can use these people, maybe it's only God that could. If you thought about that, think about it. So now we've got Abraham, Abram, and Sarai, and they're following God. They're going, they're doing their things. We'll get over to chapter 17, and we get God who says to Abram, you are no longer going to be Abram, you're going to be Abraham. And he says to Sarai, you're no longer going to be Sarai, you're going to be Sarah. And we know him now by Abraham and Sarah. And I will make of you a mighty nation. Got to put S on that. You will be mighty nations. You see, it's never about one, and it's never been about one nation of people. It's always been that God's plan of redemption and grace would be universal, that it'd be available to all, not just a few. And there are people and religions in our society and culture today, and they think they're the new Zionists, and they're the only ones that's going to get in. That's a lie. It's not biblical, and it's not truthful. It's wrong. There are people who believe that if you don't believe like them, I got news for you, that's probably going to be wrong too. Some people say, well, there's only going to be a certain number in heaven. That's a wrong. That's not correct. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. So Paul's arguing. He's saying the promise was good. He made it to Abraham. And Abraham believed it. Even though Abraham was 100 and Sarah was old too, she had no babies, no kids, and we know from the Hagar-Abraham thing that Abraham was working, because Hagar has a baby. So it proves that she was barren. That's why it happened, by the way. Because something only God could do was going to happen. That's belief. You see, Abraham didn't see how it could be possible, but he believed it anyway. And belief has to have another step. You can believe in a lot of things, but it's in faith that we believe it can happen. You see, Abraham believed in God's promise. And he had faith that God could carry it out. So many times we get to the belief part, but it's having faith that God's going to keep his word, or that he can even do it. So we arrive back at Romans with me. And Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he says to them in verse 13, for the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through grace. You see, law is a checkbox. There's a lot of people out there, they like checkboxes. There's a lot of religions out there that give you a checkbox. If you'll do A, B, C, D, you're okay. And if you don't do A, B, C, check those boxes too, you're good to go. No, it's about grace. It isn't about law. You see, law is a condemnation. Law cannot be kept. It is the spirit of the law that we're given. And the law is given for a reason, not to be punitive in and of itself. How many of you know it's wrong to steal? You know, I think it's wrong to steal. I don't care if it's an ink pen from your employer that's stealing. I don't care if it's a pack of paper clips from the office supply cabinet that you didn't buy that's stealing. I don't care. I used to have people work for me in construction, and it was always funny. They go home at the end of the day with 10 pounds of nails in their apron and come in the next morning with an empty one. That's stealing. Plain and simple. But some people justify it and say, well, I deserve it. I've worked here all these hours, all these years, and I ought to get a little something for it. You know, that? No, it's stealing. I don't care what. But it's there for a reason. Number one, you should not want and take something that don't belong to you. That's wrong. That deprives somebody of their goods, of what they've worked or what they have. But the other part is, it destroys your integrity. It destroys who you are. It isn't that you just deprive them of something. It destroys your character, your integrity. It's both shattered to nothing. You destroy that person's confidence in other people's, their security, their feeling of having safety. But you see, the law isn't just about that thing getting gone. It's about the relationship that gets shattered. It's about the integrity that is lost and the violation that it occurs. You see, that's the spirit of the law, is that we would live in harmony with each other, that we would not steal, cheat, lie. All of those things aren't just about violating a rule so that a box could be checked off and a penalty dished out, but it's about that integrity. And you see, that's the integrity of the law that's often hard to keep. And that's where grace comes in. So Paul's telling them that it's the law. You can't do it. You can't keep it. You can't get there with it. So verse 14, if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and being guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. Remember what I told you about him? Listen here. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, Genesis chapter 17. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. You ought to underline that, because that's important. God calls into existence things that do not exist. In other words, God calls some things, events, that don't make any sense. You see, we as Christians believe, not necessarily have faith, but we believe in the fantastic, don't we? We believe in miracles, don't we? We believe in the unseen is at work in the world around us, right? We believe that though we can't see it, God is at work around us. Blackaby and Blackaby experiencing God says, notice where God's at work and join him in his activity. God's at work. Have you noticed he's at work in somebody's life other than yours? However, he's rejected by some and not allowed to work. That's out there too. You see, God is at work all around us, but we can't see it. And I need you to see two things. He told Abraham, though he couldn't see it. He told Sarah, though they couldn't see it, but they believed it. And then God did it. God made Sarah get pregnant, and they had a son. And we have Isaac, and then we have Jacob, who, by the way, becomes Israel, gets in. So you've got this promise that's being fulfilled, and out of that very lineage, that very promise, we have Jesus that shows up. Now, Jesus is without sin. Everybody say amen. Jesus had no sin. This is the Son of God. However, he becomes sin for us. God makes something that wasn't into something that is. Jesus, the fantastic, the miracle. Wesley called them holy miracles. We don't know holy mysteries. We don't know how God does it. We just know he does. Jesus, who was no sin in him, became sin for us and died for us on the cross. That's the justification of which Paul speaks here. But there's something else that happened on that cross that we have forgotten, we've overlooked. And I mentioned it a little bit at our Bible study Wednesday night. It is finished. What was finished? Jesus knew he was going to die. That must not have been what he's going to talk about. Everybody around him knew the Romans would be sure he was killed. The covenant and the promise. Though we couldn't see it, Jesus made some promises. We believe in God's promises, and we have faith that he's going to keep them. We believe in his promises, and we have faith that he can and will keep them. You see, there's where faith clicks. We know, we believe. We know that God can do it. But faith is when it trips and that we know that God will do it. How many of you have heard some promises Jesus made? Anybody quote one? Well, now, what are you believing in if you can't quote one? You do read this, right? At least those first four books and the second one. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good promise. Anybody else? You know, I don't have to do all the talking. There you go. There's a promise. He can do it. Do you believe that? How many of you believe you got some eternal life going on? I got news for you. You got eternal life anyway. You just need to decide your eternal address, heaven or hell, smoking or not. You know, yeah, that's what you got to do. You're going to live forever. You just need to decide if you want to be happy or miserable. You got to decide, do you want to live up there in glory or down there in torment? That's the deal. That's what you get. So, yes, you get that. You get eternal life, but you get a different address. You get a good address. So what else? What's another promise? All things are possible. With us, not much, but with God, all things are possible. What else? Come on. I like that one, Sarah. I will be. It's figure Sarah would say that we would, you know, here's Abraham. Anyway, that he'd be with you always. Even to, what else? What other promise? How about, I will give you life more abundantly. I like that one. What about you? Yeah. So what about that? How many of us are living into that? Here's the deal. We have to realize that the promises God gives us are intrinsic with extrinsic demonstrations. What do I mean by that? They are internal. They are blessings for you. Those are blessings for you, but they show through. You got to realize the devil will bless you extrinsically on the outside. And so many people today are seeking those blessings on the outside as evidence that God's blessing them. And I got news for you. God blesses you on the inside. I have stood beside the bed of so many people who have died. I've stood there with families gathered. I have stood there with individuals. I've stood there with nobody and held somebody's hand as they died. And I've done it literally hundreds of times. And I've never yet one time had anybody lost or saved that I've been standing beside who said, oh, Lord, I'm going to beat you, but I wish I had a bigger house. Oh, Lord, I wish we'd have finished that bedroom remodel. I'd have liked to have by a little Taj Mahal. I've never heard them say, Father, I'd like to have had a new truck or a new car or a new boat or a new... I've never heard anybody on their deathbed want anything extrinsic whatsoever. But I've heard plenty of them say, oh, Father, I wish I could have reconciled with my daughter or my son or my brother or my sister. Father, I wished I had a little more time. I would like to have gotten to say something. I would like, we sound like the rich man who wakes up in torment. Oh, that I could go back, that they wouldn't come to this terrible place. And then I've heard those who say, Father, into your hands I commend my soul. I'm at peace. And I've saw them, saints of God, who didn't have a lot with a crowd around that bed, who were loving them right on into glory, who wasn't left alone. And then I've had those saints who quietly slipped into the presence of God all by themselves. No one was there, but were loved, cared for, missed. You see, that's the intrinsic blessings of God. The extrinsic are evidence of what God is doing inside you. You see, I like to be around people who have peace in their souls. You see, that was another promise Jesus made, wasn't it? My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you, but my peace. And he promised us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that would teach us and show us and guide us. You see, it's intrinsic, those blessings of God in our life, but they have outward expressions. When we have peace, we can get along with people a little better. When we have peace, we have a little more patience. When we have God's presence, we have a little more discernment. We have what Linda was saying, we can pray and receive. We can ask and find. You see, it's the intrinsic. We believe that God not only can do what he says he can do, but that he will do what he says he can do. We believe that God's at work in the imperfection of who we are, through the imperfections of who we are, and despite the imperfections of who we are, to accomplish his will and his purpose. What's God's will and purpose? That we would love one another. You see, that was the commandment of Jesus. And in our society today, I am enraged, honestly, with the division and the hatred and the manipulation that's going on. Folks, if you have never seen a time when Satan was at work, let's give the devil his dues, to divide and conquer, you better get your head out of the sand and pay attention. It's constantly pushing us to fight each other, divide each other. It's more radical now than it's ever been. We just had our Senate pass an equality thing that is absolutely ludicrous. It's absolutely unacceptable. And Jerry Nadler, who is a congressman for the United States of America, says to Congress, there is no place for God, nor is God needed in the Congress of the United States of America. Folks, that's dangerous conversation. It's godlessness at work. Don't fall in to the trap. Live by faith. Don't be divided because of your skin color. Because I want to tell you something right now. As soon as somebody says something about color, they've just shown you they're racist. Do you hear me? It is no longer okay. We have to stand up, church. There is no color. God looks plumb through our color, but there's diversity. There's wonderful diversity in the body of Christ. Let us not be divided as Christians, certainly not. Let us look for that intrinsic, the forgiveness of God upon our souls, and our seeking to love one another. Every human wants to be loved in his grace. Let us hear God's promises, as we are people of the covenant. Let us know his grace and mercy, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Let's heap up treasures in heaven, where rust and moth don't devour. And those are represented by how we love and care and share in our lives. Take time. Push the busyness of the world aside and the confusion and the madness of it all. And just spend time. This has been the worst part of this so-called pandemic, has been the division. The people that can't hug each other, hold each other, and share. Folks, we're creative for that. Have you noticed that? Or am I just the only one? How many of you like a hug? Yeah, I kind of like them, you know? It's pretty handy, you know? How many of you want somebody sat beside you when you've broken up about something? And the tears and the snot's flying, yeah? Tears and snot. I ain't pretty when I cry. There's one thing going to happen. I'm going to cry or not, because if ain't nothing else going to happen. The snot fly, it's just ugly. I need to go hide for about a week when I start it. So what's this all about? Think about it. I'm not telling you coronavirus is not bad. I'm just telling you maybe it was used. Think about it. Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble. But it's exploitation. Watch out for the extrinsic. That's where the devil works. The intrinsic, don't let him in. Don't let him divide you. Believe in God. Trust in his promises that he will, not just can, but will fulfill his word. Let us live by faith. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I just want to pray with us this morning, just for a minute. Father, there are so many ways the devil can come at us. The book of James tells us that he tempts us of our own lust and desires, our weaknesses. Father, I would pray this morning that we would be bold in Christ, but also that we would be bold in our belief, that we would be honest and have integrity, but that we would believe in you, not for the extrinsic, for Father, that ever changes, but for the intrinsic. For your promises are individually to us, and they exemplify themselves and are seen through the actions, the fruits of the spirits. So, Father, today I would pray that we have faith in you, that we trust in you, and that we believe in you. Not only that we believe you can, but that we believe you will, and that we would hold the promises of peace that surpasses all understanding, life everlasting, that with God all things are possible, that sins are forgiven and we are born a new creation, that we have peace that flows like a river, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, and that we have a capacity to know your love for us and our love of you, to know your forgiveness in our hearts and lives. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen us to forgive ourselves and others. Father, let us not be divided by the evil that seeks to consume us, but let us in your grace and mercy call sin, sin. Let us hate and abhor the sin, but love the person. Let us not associate the two as the same, for they are not. Father, I pray for each one of us today to live by faith in you. Father, I pray that we would hold to your promises and that we would not just hold to them, but that we would believe that you will carry them out. It was some time in the life of Abraham before he saw that son you had promised him, but it happened. Abraham didn't get to see the great nation that it would become. Isaac didn't get to see the great nation it would become. Jacob began to see the promise fulfilled. But in faith, they each saw and knew that you would. For Father, it's in your timing. Help us with that. It's in your will. Help us with that. Father, I struggle so many times in my own life, and I pray that if others struggle with your timing, Father, help us. Guide us and direct us. And Father, finally, I would pray that as you work in us and our intrinsic relationship with you grows, that it is exemplified in the extrinsic, that people would see it and that they would be drawn to you through it. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. May we go living by faith, not only believing that God can, but believing God will do what He has promised. May the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you and bless you. May His love and grace fill you, sustain you, heal you, and give you a message to share with the world around us. And truly, may the peace of God go with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.